September 25th, 2018, month-end meeting at 5:30, followed by a town board workshop at 6 o'clock and a regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, we all set with them. Welcome everybody to this month's audit meeting for September 25th. And with that, just take a roll call.
Councilman Hogan.
Here.
Councilman Van Tassel.
Here.
Councilwoman LeClaire.
Here.
Supervisor Kuzner.
Here.
Discussion.
Oh.
But we're just signing away.
I thought I was helping them.
Oh, no.
This is.
Right. Where did those go?
Needing a third signature.
Okay. These are needing a third signature that.
Don't we decide when to do what it needs to?
I think you're already signing.
Some of them did.
You can leave them. I will work my way through them here. I'll cover for Kyle tonight. So just X.
Whatever works. Changing the date of the audit meeting, so to this date at 5:30. So I entertain a motion to do that.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan.
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel.
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire.
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzner.
Yes.
So now we're current. Maybe now's not the place that we'll do it in the meeting. We also have to do something for October.
The last meeting in October?
Yeah, we'll do that.
That's
I just
good.
To do it.
I just want Rudy on the same page.
Yeah.
I show up when you guys do.
Always prepared. Must have been a Boy Scout.
What's that?
Thank you.
Oh, you'll take them out of order?
Well, I don't know they're in order.
He's got an order.
By the time I get done, I have to reorder them anyway.
So the first item, I have six vouchers under discussion. I'm not sure if it really does, but he went over them earlier today or maybe yesterday. First one is in relation to Zoning Board of Appeals acting chairman. We have no provisions in our organizational meeting, and maybe we should next year, so when another board member acts as chairman, they'll get the extra $10. We have an instance where Kevin Elms was the acting chairman in 829, and he is requesting $50, which is what we pay the chairman, versus the $40 for other board members. And we have approved this in the past by resolution, so my suggestion would be to authorize paying the $50 to them as acting chairman.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzenierz?
Yes. And on that note, do you want to change your official meeting? Yeah, I haven't. Okay. That's all you needed on that, Rudy, for
yes.
The next voucher for discussion is the LA Group. The town board recalls authorized the payment of up to $4,400 a month for contract services of the LA Group for zoning and code enforcement. And I think we had a unique situation where there was 5 weeks that lapsed, which is obviously more than a month, which will put us over what we are authorized through our resolution 4400 in the amount of $5,142.50. So we'll need a resolution authorizing payment of that voucher in that amount versus the customary $4,400 because an extra week elapsed.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yes. I thought we just renegotiated their contract. I thought we put verbiage in that limit. You have to do this every month.
The contract hasn't been signed yet, I don't think.
Yeah, I have the contract.
Okay.
With that said, it will be corrected?
Yes.
Okay.
No further
discussion.
I think next time we probably will approve just the annual contract. Mm-hmm. Pay it out as a bill.
I think we have verbiage that we recommended in a meeting when we discussed this.
But right.
I don't remember what that verbiage was, but you answered my question.
Okay. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzenierz?
Yes.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzenierz?
Yes. Next item for discussion is a voucher from Arca Inc. LLC, which is an invoice for a color run. So we had authorized expenditure of up to $903.
It was mentioned in the minutes. The minutes are attached. But it's not attached to the voucher. It says there's total cost, but there's no vote on it. just that there would be expenses of that amount. They didn't say where they were going to come from. So I just need approval of those vouchers.
Okay, so we have stated on the record that the expenses for the color run at a August 14, 2018 meeting would be a total of $903.66, but we did not authorize payment for the expenses incurred as a result of the color run, so I need authority from the board to pay an invoice number 5321 in the amount of $326.06. And
326. 329. And the other one's for 436.95. Yeah. This should be the next one, yeah. No,
oh, color delays?
Yes.
Okay, and then another, you can include the same motion to pay color delays supply or invoice 551-2340. In the amount of $476.95.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes.
It's just for 33. All the rest are okay with board approval.
Oh, so this was what? Not included in the
measure? This was not included in any board measure. All the others were.
Okay. So I'll need authorization to pay mileage for Jen Miller to attend a meeting in Clifton Park on August 28, 2018, which was a round trip of 61.6 miles, and she's looking for reimbursement of $33.58.
Second.
Any discussion?
This is still in your stocking now.
So, yeah, I. She's looking. Yeah, so she's looking for clarification on what the town's policy is. I think the board saw what our policy is in relation to training. We do not require department heads as part of their regular duties, i.e., Peggy, who goes out and does mileage, or cruise mileage. For her job. This is not an everyday occurrence in this office, so I told Jenna to bring it to the board for clarification and whether she needs to get approval for that. I believe it's customary that any travel requires prior approval from the board.
That's clarified.
No, I said I would bring it to the board, and that's how the board feels, or if you want to fine-tune that, I'll do what you want and relay that information to them.
Has it been a problem up to this point with the customary practices?
No, just occasionally, it would be a trip.
So doing a case-by-case visit? Or let them know that the board would appreciate prior requests for prior approval?
My only concern about getting board approval for small expense for travel is the timing of things that will make running the town harder. I think getting board approval for expenses is probably a good idea. And so if it's an emergency situation, then they can pull the board.
Okay. we will do that. I'll pass that on to her.
But we'll call the chamber.
Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. That's all I have for items under discussion.
Do you have the transfers?
Yes. Before we wrap up here, I'll need authority to transfer some funds here, and I'll read off the first three, which I think we can include in one resolution. So I'm looking for a motion to transfer $726 from A1990.4 General Fund Special Items Contingent Account, and $680 be transferred to A5010.410 General Fund Superintendent of Highways Attorney's Fees, and $96 be transferred to A5132.410 General Fund Highway Garage Litigation.
So moved.
Any discussion? Transfer is needed to cover legal expenses related to the highway garage and other highway expenses. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Next resolution I'll need to transfer funds would be to transfer 1490. We transfer from A7140.4 General Fund Recreation Contractual Expenses, and 1490 we transfer to A7140.2 General Fund Recreation Equipment. Transfer funds from the contractual account to pay for the line marking spray machine, which should be classified as equipment approved by the town board at the meeting on September 11th.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. And the last transfer, I need a motion to transfer $534.66 from account A1990.4, which is General Fund Special Items Contingent Account, and $534.66 be transferred to A3510.1, which is General Fund Controlled Dogs Personal Services. And this is to cover payroll expenses for a dog control officer.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes.
Make a motion?
No, just as soon as I...
Is that? Please cover that.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, John.
Yep. Take care of business.
I will need an additional resolution to increase appropriations by $500 to an account HT7180.4, which is a townwide recreation capital project administration contractual. Increase in appropriations is for payment to the LA Group for services related to the town application for the Greenway Community Grant approved by the town board on August 14th of this year. As the board recalls, we were successful in getting the maximum amount of the matching grant of $7,500. So it's good to transfer.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Board members have anything else? Now, with that, I'll entertain a motion to approve the bills as audited.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. And a final motion to close the audit meeting for September.
So moved.
Second.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, so we'll get started and welcome everyone to a workshop on economic development. We have Saratoga County Property Partnership, who's going to go over with the board members a written proposal for next wave of communities.
Next step.
So to speak. Next step, so to speak. And I want to welcome Marty for taking the time to be here with us this evening.
Thank you.
And turn it over to you.
I'm going to give Leanne my card so she spells my last name properly, just in case.
Do you have it somewhere?
Well, thank you again for having me here today on this rainy, wet Tuesday. I'm excited about what we're going to do here. And I guess the thing that I want to, two things I really want to go over today is the survey and what that survey looks like and what it should be and who it should go to and who should answer it. And there's a couple different ways we could look at that. And then the second thing would be the asset identification process. And I put together an outline for you on the agenda that talks about the different assets that economic development assets that we want to identify and the questions we want to ask that we can get into how we're going to acquire that information as we go through that discussion. So the only other thing I want to mention to you is based on the calendar that I outlined for you, we are behind. That's not your fault, that's my fault. So,
I was going to say, this is just our first meeting.
Yeah, no. I promised you that we would generate an economic development survey by September 15th, and so we're about, you know, half, 15 days behind. But what I really want to start with is that, any questions on what we're going to talk about tonight? Okay. So I'll review that the steps that we're going to take here. We're going to look at an economic development survey, and the question will be, again, who should that survey go out to, and who do you want it answered by? The next step would be identifying your economic development assets. Followed by that, we'll get together and do a strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats exercise. I'm sure some of you have been through that kind of thing before. And then we'll do a foresight analysis exercise, which is kind of peering into the future. And then we'll put together a final plan and strategy, and that's where the partnership will sit down and actually write it, give it to you, get your feedback, fix things, change things. We'll do that process a couple of times until we have a final plan, because it's, as I've said in the very beginning, it's as much your plan. It really is your plan, not our plan. We're just here to help write it and to help you with our expertise and knowledge in economic development, look at the reality of situations and help you put something together that is feasible and doable. And so that's, and all that we hope to get done by the end of the year. So we have 3 months, basically, to get this done. Any questions on the timeline? Or I know it's an aggressive one, but let's stick with it. And if we get it done, we get it. But there's no crime if we stretch it out a little bit.
Okay, good.
All right, so let's start with the survey questions. And what I did is put together a survey. And some of these questions are, the first six questions are answered on a scale. And the last ones are more of a choice type question.
Oh, that's what I got.
So we can go through question by question, but I think the first question that we have to ask ourselves is, who do you want to give you input on the survey? In other words, if just the six or five of you did this, it'll be really easy. We'll probably get back on schedule. So, but if you want this group and then planning board, zoning board, other people in the community on your boards and commissions to do it, it'll take a little bit longer because we'll have to get their email. We'll do this electronically because we have, you know, the tools to do that.
Or if you really want to get a wide variety of input, we can get this out to the community. There's several ways we can do it. If you have a newsletter, no? Okay. But we can get an article in the paper talking about the survey. We can post it on our website and go right to that website. If you have email addresses of residents, we can send a blast out to them. A number of different ways we can do that. And you can get a wide-ranging input about economic development in the community. Yes?
So you use an online
survey number.
Yeah. So you can limit responses to, I can see certain individuals going on 15, 10, 20, 10, 30.
Yeah,
10.
No, we can.
Yes.
We can monitor that.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. And we can see who's answering it. You know, they can do that if they have 15 different email addresses, but it'll be exclusive to the email address.
Okay.
So someone went on and under the same email address try to answer a survey more than once, it won't let them.
Marty, I think that's a great idea to have access by the town, with the town's website.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I would like to do, and hopefully the board agrees, is have a page under economic development,
mm-hmm.
have a link to the survey. Maybe you could provide a concise overview of what the town's doing.
Okay.
And at the bottom of that, we encourage everyone to
fill out
a survey.
Yeah, we can do that. We can write that up. And so you can modify your website fairly easy to put that in there? Okay, good. So we'll do that.
Right, Lynn?
I can't do that, no. You'll have to have Manex maybe help with that.
Yeah, you get it to us, we'll get it done.
Okay. Yeah, because I think getting the broad input from the community is going to be your best. And that helps you as a council to, when you implement the plan, people say, you can't do that. It's like, well, no, that's what everybody said they wanted. This is a plan. You've been through that kind of process before, so you know what the implications of that are. So the next step then is to look at some of the questions, and I'll just go through them.
I like how you asked the question.
Yes.
So based on your experience, what's your recommendation?
The broader, yes, very much so, yeah. Again, because I think if it's just this group or a smaller group, it's very easy to be critical and say, well, that they just decided what they're going to do.
Okay.
And so it gives everybody an opportunity to be part of this. So anyway, the first six questions are kind of a scale type questions. The group disagree strongly, disagree neutral, agree strongly, agree. And we'll ask these questions, people will be able to go and pick whatever they want. And so and we can add questions if you think there's a question we need to add or we can take them out. So the first one's pretty simple. Economic development is the most important issue facing the town of Moreau today. Town of Moreau. People will answer that on a different scale, but I think it'll help elevate the idea of economic development as an important issue. Economic development is on the lips of every person running for office, every individual, everyone believes they know what economic development is. Based on my last presentation, you guys actually do know what it is. So, and you've got it in your books there. But we want to, flesh that out a little bit and get them to say, yes, this is very important to us. And I think you'll find most people will either agree or strongly agree. They may say something else might be more important. What would be a competing idea that's more important than economic development in this town? A sewer?
What is an empire? What's that? I feel like you have parents and people will take recreation. But that.
Recreation is.
Yeah.
Recreation tax is what it's
called. Okay. So. But we'll find from that.
Low
so,
tax.
So question number two gets into. In two and three. All of the other two, three, four really are questions that I thought could help us understand what people think of the community from an economic development perspective.
Are we a veteran community serving Albany and points south or in points north, let's say? Or are we going to stand alone as an economic entity with jobs in the community? And so that plays into a lot of major policy decisions on your part. If everyone says the creation of local jobs in town, is critical for our success. And Moreau can function as a veteran community, let the job be created in other communities. And number four, Moreau just is fine without more business causing congestion. I think from those three, you'll get a real good feel for at least the people responding what identity they want this community to have. If everyone says, no, we want jobs in the community, then we know that from an economic development recruiting standpoint, it's okay to recruit the big company to go out at the interstate. It's okay to help build entrepreneur businesses and create more jobs in the community versus those people waking up in the morning, getting in the car, and going down the interstate to some other community. Now, there's disadvantages and advantages to both, but we have to decide based on the survey, and you have to understand what the communities think in that regard. Number five just talks about retail. If everyone says, yes, we need more retail, then there's opportunities to tell us how and what type of retail. And then the town of Moreau should invest in infrastructure to incentivize economic development. It kind of goes to your sewer question, and I think we'll get a good read there as well. So, again, with retail, question number five, knowing that points back up to then we need more jobs here, or we need people with incomes that generate the jobs, generate the and cause the recreation opportunities to play. So those are the ranking questions. And then we have questions that are, they get to pick. So when it comes to growth and development, what is the city's greatest challenge? The town. Thank you. Providing adequate job opportunities, providing a suitable range of housing options, protecting natural resources, protecting small town character, providing adequate amenities. This gets a little bit out of the range of economic development. There's probably some planning and community development there, but at least gives you an answer what people are thinking. If everyone's picking adequate amenities and small town character and natural resources and providing adequate job opportunities is low, again, we're starting to define a little bit bedroom or employment center. Number eight, what is the city's greatest asset? They can take a look at that. Education, natural habitat, rural housing, recreational opportunities, sense of community. Number nine,
is that towns too there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I kept muscle memory. We'll get, believe me, I'll have Shelby approve all this. This is Marty writing. But the following issues, which one do you believe requires the greatest focus? Transportation, housing, land use and zoning, economic development. Again, kind of repeats a similar question, but adds some more choice. Parks, natural resources, sustainability, education, cultural resources, utilities, community services. What type of development is most needed? Increased commercial uses downtown. And so when I put that, I was thinking of South Glens Falls. And I know that we haven't approached them, but in one of our very initial meetings we talked about having them involved in this as well. So I'm not sure how far we want to go with that. So,
we would be interested in including them. However, most of your vacant properties that have not been developed are outside of those.
Okay. We may want to retool this question a little bit. So it's versus, we can say the area around the interstate exit versus some other identifiable area. 11, what should be the top economic priority? recreation, manufacturing, construction, warehouse, distribution, logistics. And what do you think Murrow's strengths are? Again, small town, affordable place to live, natural environment, open space, parks and recreation, neighborhoods, farms, and rural areas, close to urban centers, proximity to major retail, transportation, K-12 schools. And then the last one is, what do you think are Murrow's challenges? And so I have picked those three, but I wasn't sure what you would identify. So maybe we need some additional choices here from the challenge list. I didn't want to presume to know what your challenges were. So you might tell me at this point what those might be and what we could add. So it's 13 questions, which is short, long enough to get some good answers. But I think I want to stress that while this survey is important, it's not the end all. They're not basing the entire economic development plan on the survey because, let's be truthful, a lot of people are going to answer it based on a lack of knowledge about economics, marketplace, that kind of thing. And say, you know, I've seen people in small communities say, we need an IKEA. I was like, well, you know, here's the reality of it. The IKEA that would go. IKEA wouldn't even, at this point, go to Albany. It just doesn't have enough people for IKEA. So when I left Indianapolis in 2015, they just announced IKEA going there. So that's not even a bigger one. It's a smaller one. So, you know, things like that. So we need to understand what's real and what's not real. The survey gives us a good foundation to start. So I just want you to remember that while the survey is important, it doesn't, it's not everything.
So are you looking for the board to flesh out? Or
yeah, well, I mean, we can have a discussion now. I think if you want, or if you want to sit and talk, or you know, do some.
I think yeah.
Sending emails.
Yeah.
I'll fix the typos and the town versus city stuff. But
from an use of time, efficient use of time standpoint, I think board members sent you an email with and CC'd the rest of the board with suggestions.
Yeah.
Collectively, it'll provide those to you.
Yep. Perfectly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Because I feel like. So this obviously is the first step, right? The
yes.
Survey. I mean, I kind of feel like some of these are like home run pitches, right? 2, 3, and 4. Maybe that's what we feel, but maybe we wouldn't be surprised by some of the questions, some of the results that came in. I don't know, but you know, as a board, we probably all feel very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same.
Yep.
Similar. You know. So some I use surveys a lot too. I'm a teacher in surveys, and I use Survey Monkey, so I get the direction that the survey is going to kind of guide the person through and allow feedback to be pulled out of that. And I guess we need that to go back to this was the survey study. So, okay.
And we can also add, I was just thinking about this, please, you know, they want to put a paragraph in about what they're thinking. I don't know if that's dangerous or not, but.
But that's the kind of feedback I think we really want to hear.
Yeah.
Not just.
Yeah. So here's the survey. Now tell us what you think about economic development in Murrow and let people kind of preform it a little bit.
Right.
I think that would be important too. And we can add that box at the end.
I think it's important.
When we talk
about
jobs, we talk about local jobs here. But having a local job and having a local job that someone can support a family and not have to drive to Albany are two different things.
Right.
That I think we need to differentiate that in somewhere, whether it's in 13 or where it is, have something such as employment that pays a living wage, or you know, employment that.
So then, what sentence we could say? Let's see. Provide adequate local sustainable jobs. Now, not everybody knows what that means.
No.
But I could asterisk it and say. A sustainable job is a job that will provide adequate income for a single person who, you know, to live comfortably and/or family. Because I think that is an issue. You know, we hear about people who have a job, but the new statistic everyone's talking about these days is underemployment. So people that maybe have a bachelor's degree, even a master's degree, but yet they're flipping burgers or something. And so that represents underemployment. So we need to find out a little bit more.
I think when we're looking at how we're going to develop, that's going to be important. Because
yes.
If you look at our corridor, even in the village, there may be jobs, but they're not jobs that someone can support themselves.
Right, right. So we can include that as part of the definition.
Marty, the multiple choice, where it comes from questions 1 through 6, and then goes to multiple choice,
yep.
Are they just choosing one answer? Or
right.
Yeah, some of it's built for
ranking questions?
Yeah.
Yeah, they choose one.
Okay. It's like a 12 where it says, well, you make a merge.
So that on that one, we can set it up so that they can pick. We can say either up to 3.
Top 3.
Or we can,
yeah, we might wish to give a little instruction on how to fill it out when you clean it up.
Well, I think limiting it to like top 3, if you rank them, then I don't know if you've ever done these surveys.
Yeah.
You get a list of 20 things you're trying to rank what's most important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you get to like 5 or 6, you're like, all right.
Yeah.
You
know, so I like the single answer, but it's the way it was worded on some of them. It
looked
like we're looking for more. So.
So the ones with more we'll have. They pick the top 3. We can set it up that way.
All right. And we'll provide you email written feedback.
Yeah. And so I think the area I need most help on is question 13. You know, what are the challenges? You know, I picked 2 or I picked 3 that would be in smaller communities, the issues that they face, transportation, infrastructure, library tech. Transportation. We can even split out into mass transit versus
traffic,
local roads, traffic congestion. We could split it out that way and think about that when you're going to be responding to me with your ideas.
The one thing that we hear in agreement is how congested people are in your village.
Yeah.
Well, I think if anybody who's going to fill out the survey that has any sort of thought about it and the opportunity at the end to add their own, traffic is going to come up. It's just going to be the underlying theme, I think, in everybody's chance to freeform a response.
Okay.
So it's going to be there. And we can point it out, but I'm pretty sure they're going to hit that mark. Because it needs to be addressed, obviously.
Okay. So, when do you think, how long should I give you guys?
A week?
Okay.
Does that work?
I think it would be very helpful, certainly for me, if you send me an email.
I'll send you an email.
Yeah, action items, who owns what's
forward to everybody else, because I don't think I have everybody's email address.
Send it to my office.
Yeah, I'll send it to yours and Lisa, or you can disperse it. And then, do you want to come back to you or to me?
I prefer you.
Okay. And I'll, my email address will be in there.
You've seen that desk.
That's all right, that's fine. You can tell me. And I would just suggest you say, question 12, we should have this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we will set. Friday?
Yes, next Friday. So the 20th of 5th, 4th.
No,
5th.
Next Friday.
Well, this coming Friday.
No, next month.
The week from 28th.
Yeah.
5th.
I think it's out of give a week and a couple of days.
Yeah.
Work,
yeah.
Friday the 5th.
Friday the 5th.
Does that still help our timeline? Are we okay there?
Yeah, we're in the law, so we'll catch up.
We're breaking new ground here, so
that's right. You can use it. All right. You got that working. So this is the next part. And under the program that we outlined, we said we're going to identify assets. What are the assets that Tom Morrell has, that can impact economic development positively. And so this also helps us understand what work we might need to fill in some gaps. And so I outlined from our original list in our presentation the areas that I think are the things that we need to identify. And I can go through each one of these. Basically, let's talk about first roads and transportation network. Where are the roads located? It kind of seems almost presumptuous, but we want to know where the roads are located, what their conditions are, what their class is, are they provide access to key properties, and a host of other things. Now, a lot of the stuff that we're going to look at here, it's likely that an engineering firm that you've hired in the past has done a report. So any reports you have on any of this stuff?
So on our website, we have the town's draft master plan, which a lot of people were involved in, has been reviewed and approved by the zoning board and the planning board. We're in the final stages for the town board to review it and either adopt it as we actually make some recommendations. But so many people were involved over the years in that, that'd be a great resource for you.
Okay. Will it answer some of these questions or all of them or some of them?
As far as the kind of growth we'd like to see?
Well, like road and transportation network, water, sewer lines, where they are, all that stuff.
I won't say where they are, but okay. I'll have the feeling of those folks that worked on it where they'd like to see it.
Okay. All right.
Now, we can, as far as water lines, we can have the our engineer slash water department get that information.
One of the things that you could do, Todd, is if you, I can give you sample language if you want, would send an email to any of your consulting engineers or consultants that have done work in the past and say, this is what partnership is. It'll say, this is, I would like to introduce you to Marty Bonics. He's with the partnership. He's undertaking, they're undertaking this study. And we're going to write an economic development plan for our community. Please take this call and fulfill his request for information. Kind of thing.
Yeah,
that way, LaBerge is your engineer?
One of them.
I give them a call or I email them and say, I'm looking for X. They know that you guys have said, yes, you can have a copy. Otherwise, they won't release it to me.
Yeah, that's not a problem. So you're going to work on that draft for me. And, we can get it. It's going to take a little effort, but it's actually very important cataloging this because this is just the beginning for where entities are looking to come in down the road that want to know this.
Exactly. And so when we have this all laid out and understood, we'll have a document that we can refer to, tab, that says, these are what you have. These are where the roads are. These are, the condition they're in. Here's the water and sewer. These are where you can access them. Same with other things like electricity, natural gas, fiber. That's really important these days, so we want to know where those are. That's actually a very sometimes difficult thing to find out. Companies like Verizon and AT&T don't like to tell you where they have things and how much they have because they're all very competitive. And for the most part, they're not obligated to tell anybody, including you. So, available buildings and sites, we'll touch base with all the local realtors as well as regional brokers who have an understanding of properties that they've listed here in the area. Number six is an interesting area, and what I want to do is take a prototype or mock project building and lay it in front of your, lay it and say, how long would it take to get this approval? And just go through the steps so we can do a timeline, and that's really important in the end of the day when we talk to site consultants or others trying to recruit a company, and we have a site that's available in Monroe. We can say, well, here's how long it takes. Because that's one of the first questions they like to ask. How long will it take to get my approval through? If it says, if you guys say it's going to take 3 years, They're on to the next town.
Right. I've already had that conversation with our building department.
Okay.
Process if you want to.
Good. Excellent. And so we'll want that information to put someone to the mix, because it's an asset. If it's shorter, and you're, you know, the development community looks at a community that has a quick and easy but deliberate timeline as to how quickly they can get things through. If there's issues and rules change during the process, word spreads fast, and you don't want that.
Yeah, and hand in hand with that, I've asked them to develop a checklist.
Yes.
With everything that anybody looking at
yeah.
needs to abide by, put a typical time frame
yeah.
in there. So that'll be helpful.
The workforce labor education assets, we can get a lot of that information. We have that information already. It's more of a regional data bank. Emergency services are important, particularly if you have industry or company moving in and they have specific emergency services needs, whether it's fire or other capabilities. Retail profile, so we'll want to look at where all the retailers are, the chains versus locally owned, regional chains like Hannover and things like that. And then major employers, private employers, public employers. And then the last thing is economic development history. What's happened in the past, and that's something we're going to have to interview some people. If you know, if there's the local town historian, he's always pretty good in terms of providing information. Is that you?
My wife.
Okay, very good. And you know, that'd be good to have that information. And not so much about, you know, a lot of times a local history is really the commercial history of the community, because communities grew up around commercial entities, the mill or the factory, and all of a sudden people are living there. So having that and having that narrative is important to tell the rest of the story and how we're going to move into the future. So understanding your past is important for the future. So this may run into some of our other deadlines, but we'll get it all put together. And in the final analysis, when we get down to doing the SWOT analysis, we'll have that information for you, and you can say, all right, here's our strengths. You know, we have these assets, but we're falling short here. So we can readily identify the weaknesses and then work with the opportunities and threats as well. And then we'll move into the foresight work, and then we'll write the plan. So, are we on track?
Good first steps.
On track, yeah. I'm excited to actually be focused on a structured development of a plan to move forward. I don't recall a time ever since I've been on the board where there was this kind of interest forever. And I think it'll pay huge dividends down the road.
Well, I want to commend you guys for doing this. It really, I think, is you'll be the.
I'll be close to children.
You're the early adopter, let's call it that.
Like the first child to realize what works and what doesn't.
That's right. And then, frankly, the mistakes we make or the things we stumble over will make it easier down the line for some of the other communities. I'm actually surprised that not everyone has signed up. But some communities, like the town I live in, I'm not sure they want a lot of economic development, which is Galway. It's mostly a farming community. And there's a couple of vacant storefronts in the village. I think if I came out there and said, hey, I've got a 500,000 square foot warehouse distribution center, I'd like to put them. I think I'd get a lot of, get this guy out of town. Who hired him? So I don't think, for the most part, no. But I think even in a situation like that, it would be really important to say, here's what we're going to say no to, right? Versus allowing someone to dictate that future for them. So maybe it'll happen. We'll see. But any questions, thoughts, comments?
No, my comment would be from Reed to you. You guys should introduce one.
Okay.
Give us some history for
you. We have a water asset. We had Tim Burley did a whole thing about 3 or 4 years ago. Did the whole structure of the town, all the water lines.
Oh,
that's already done.
Excellent. You're the guy that has that information?
The town board? The town master.
Reed, get out of the car and give it to him.
I don't have the car.
Here, give it to him.
Oh, okay. No, it's just... I'm one of the guys that show up before me.
Okay. He's also on the planning board.
I'm on the planning board, and it moves quite, if you don't mind, it moves quite quickly. What slows at the planning board is when the people that come up front are poorly organized, and it's not the, Hudson Headwater came in, very well organized, and they moved as quick as we can.
Yep.
What we, the only thing, the only negative thing is, people want it in like 60 days or 30 days. It doesn't.
Yeah.
I would say four to 5 months tops if you're organized.
Yeah.
Then you can easily go through the plan or less. But if you're having to do it by yourself and not following the set criteria, engineers should come in that are ones that have been before the board your time. It moves fairly quickly.
Okay. Yeah.
It depends on how well you.
And I think we need to identify that and say this is good.
Well,
this is important. People want to know that.
And Mr. Like, I'll agree with Todd's done. He's just done an excellent job communicating area. And we have those. A lot of the checklists are already done and are moving along, so people are.
Okay.
So,
Ray,
we
you're 3 minutes is up.
What? We don't look. We're usually, I'd say, things are moving as quickly as somebody's well organized.
Email me your contact information.
Okay, I'm glad to.
Yeah, be great.
And visit his store in Saratoga. He's got a great retail establishment.
What was that?
Visit his retail establishment in Saratoga.
I'm in the city of Saratoga. I have a retail store with a home.
What is it?
Called the Saratoga Designer Trust. Do you have wine making supplies? And any of the permits will help you make.
I've been wanting to stop there.
Please do.
I will. Now I know. I've got a connection.
Yes.
So anyway, I know exactly where it is.
Anybody else on board that question?
No. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you.
I
appreciate
it.
And we're looking
we'll be in contact. And Lisa, by the way, is great.
Phenomenal.
She is a real. You're harder to find than she is. So.
That's intentional.
It's intentional.
Marty, thank you.
I didn't say that.
Can we close this workshop?
We're all accountable.
Yep. We'll take a moment to close the workshop.
So moved.
Second. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzmir?
Yes.
Thanks.
Hey, welcome everyone to the regular town board meeting for September 25th, 2018. With that, Leanne, we'll have a roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Here.
Councilman Noonan?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzmirs?
Here. And with that, we'll have a pledge of allegiance.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. First order of business this evening will be to approve minutes. First set of minutes is the town board workshop that we held on September 11th. Regarding health insurance for the town. Any changes to those minutes?
No.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
Seconded.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor?
Oh, I'm staying. Sorry.
Supervisor Kuzmirs?
Yes. And the second set of approvals we have, of minutes we have approval this evening is for the regular town board meeting on that same day.
Motion to approve.
Second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Abstain.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Item two on the agenda is to set future meetings and workshops. I'm in the process of wrapping up, working in conjunction with Jeffrey, the town's tentative budget. That will be available to town board members by the end of this week. And with that, I'd like to start the town board budget workshops. And right now I'm looking at Wednesday, October 3rd, at 7:30 for around, as well as October 4th, beginning at 7 p.m. for another round of budget workshops. And I can schedule with the department heads probably in 15-minute increments, depending on the department. And we'll go from there. Does that work for board members?
Works for me.
Yes.
Okay. You got that, Lynn?
Yep.
Any other town board member have a request for a meeting or any workshop at this time? With that, we will go to the next item on this evening's agenda. And we have a request from Steve Conklin, who is with Skip Barber Racing, to make a presentation to the board. It'll be about a five-to-ten-minute presentation. So with that, we'll welcome Steve to the podium.
Good evening, everyone.
How are you?
This here. My name is Steve Conklin. I've spoken to a couple of you before, a number of years ago. I went and spoke with the powers that be. I was looking to buy the old T-Bird golf course and turn it into an EVOC and training facility. At the time, Trustco Bank was in the process of doing some stuff with, I believe it's National Grid, and they ended up renting it out to National Grid while they were doing some work on the high tension lines, so everything got tabled for probably a year or so. A couple months ago, in fact, I was almost set to close on another piece of property. Trustco came back to me and asked if I was still interested in the old T-Bird site, and I am. So basically, what my company does is we do a thing called EBL Racing. We do a thing with Skip Barber Racing, which I don't know if you've heard of. It's one of the largest racing teaching groups in the country. And what we've done is we've taken a look at that piece of property, and I think for a number of reasons it would be a perfect fit for the town. What we would end up doing is, and everyone looks at it and goes, oh my goodness, it's a racetrack. We don't want a racetrack. I don't want a racetrack either. I don't want a duplication of what Malta has, where when I'm on my boat in Saratoga Lake, I can still hear them all Friday night. It's not even remotely what this is. So basically, the track would have a few different configurations. So one of it would be EVOC training. So EVOC training is emergency vehicle training. So we've teamed up with a couple different agencies as far as being able to bring sheriff's department, state police, etc., in to do some remedial work on EVOC, as well as the fire departments, the Mohawk ambulances, etc., etc. I knew I was only going to get a few minutes, so I decided not to bring any of the people, but I have people from the Saratoga County Sheriff's Department will be glad to come up and explain the fact that there's really kind of a shortage of where they can go and train their people how to drive. Fire department's the same way. Where do you learn how to drive, you know, that fire truck at a safe speed, you know, on the roads? So anyway, it would be basically set up as just as it is now. And that's one of the nice parts about the project is I don't really have to do a whole heck of a lot of anything. There's a clubhouse there that would be turned into a training center. We would keep that restaurant area as kind of a, you know, conference center where people can eat afterwards and before. Maybe we would do an outdoor pavilion. But other than that, it would literally just be like some paved deck. And it would be roughly 1.6 miles. And then in that, that would be the total. And that would be a configuration for a couple different things. The e-bike training, the slow-speed training, the high-speed training, etc. So that's basically it. The nice part is I don't need water. I don't add any you know, kids to the already burdened school system, etc., etc. I leave a fairly small footprint. And the proposal I made to Morrow a couple years ago, and it still holds true, I understand that South Glens Falls does not have any driver's ed program. And we have a very, very comprehensive, so Drive and Thrive program, and we would offer that to all the kids in South Glens Falls for free, you know, just as being a good neighbor. That way, when they go out on the road and they skid for the first time, it's not at 80 miles an hour down, you know, on the North Lake, but it's something that's controlled. So we're big into giving back to the community. There's a lot of acreage there. There's a lot of things that we can do other than just having a track. We could easily keep it set up as a little four-hole golf course, things like this, to make sure that the footprint stays reasonably close to the same. And then, like I said, it would be we would offer it to the town free of charge for all the local training for your police and fire, etc. So that's that. And if you have any questions, I think there's still 30 seconds left. So
the reason I think you wanted to present before the board this evening is that current zoning doesn't provide for what you want to accomplish.
Absolutely.
And as a result, the town board would have to approve the PUD.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he's made a brief presentation this evening, I believe, to see what kind of interest, if any, the town has.
And what I had said before is I have three spots I'm looking at. One is Indian Hands, which is great because I don't have to worry about anything. I can just start you know, building tomorrow. But this actually happens to be a great location. I live locally, reasonably locally, so it works well for me. One of the things that I've always said, and this is my first project with building, I always want to make sure that it's always a win-win. And a lot of times I'll go into a town. I wanted to do something for town of Reno. Within 2 seconds, I realized we're being a dead one. So I could have forced it through, but I had zero desire to do that. So I want to make sure that before we even take one step further, I control this land. It's mine to do what I want with for the time being. But I want to make sure that if we move forward, it's because, you know, that we all want to move forward and we all think that it's a good project. Yeah, I have this old saying about pushing each other uphill, and I just I won't do it. So if it's something that the town says, hey, we like the fit, we like who it's going to bring in, we like the small footprint, we like et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then by all means, yeah, I'll move forward. And if not, then that's okay, and I'll still get off the exit and enjoy Morrow State Park.
Now, is there, I'm not familiar with any of these types of facilities. Is there one that you could point to where board members could take a look at, you know, what's involved?
There really isn't, because it's a hybrid. So it's not a racetrack. It's a non-spectator venue. Having said that, if the town said, hey, we need to have celebrity racing, to have those type of things, to have a little race circuit and have a couple hundred people and do like a Saratoga Polo where it's upscale and there's 300-500 people coming in, that's one thing. I kind of shied away from it, only because then that way I don't have to deal with the Department of Transportation and dealing with any of that kind of stuff. So there really isn't anything similar, because this would be a private facility. So what would happen is if you wanted to sit there and be a member, you would come, you would be using your car, it would be our instructors that would be teaching you, you'd be able to go out and do whatever you wanted to do on a small circuit track and not take it out on the Northway. So you would have that group, the Ferraris and the Porsches and those people, and then you would have the fire and the police, and then you would have the young students. On top of that, we also do lots of corporate events. So GE's a big client of mine. They'll bring their people in. A, it's fun, and B, they get to learn how to really drive and not how to, what they perceive of driving. So we teach them how the car works, how weight distribution works, when to brake, when not to brake, that type of thing.
So if you're already providing that kind of instruction, you must have a use of a facility somewhere else?
There's quite a few, but they're all either much, much bigger or much, much smaller. Mm-hmm. So I've used the Scatico Fair. I've used, I forgot the name of the parking lot, it's off the top of my head. New York State is a parking lot right off the end of 787. Which we've used to do some of the high speed stuff. We've used Lime Rock, we've used Thompson Motor Speedway. That's kind of overkill. So what this does is it's kind of built just big enough for what we need.
So this would be obviously a paved track. Would you also have a dirt track?
No.
Just a paved track. And how large would the track be? Well, I noticed you brought a board. Do you want to help provide
that? Let's see. I don't see it easily anywhere. Yeah. Can everyone see this?
Yep.
Okay. And I apologize. It was pouring rain, so we wrapped it. So basically, here's, this is Reynolds Road. Here's the existing facility and then the parking lot. So basically what it would be is there would be a paved section here, and here we do all our slow speed stuff, teaching people how to back up a fire truck, things like that. It takes a lot for these guys to actually do that type of stuff. So you set up with cones, you teach them how to do slow speed maneuvers. The police use it for doing doing different drills as far as slow speed. The police also have to be very efficient of turning around the road very, very quickly. So there's that section, and then we have the bigger section, which is allows to either to train on how to take curves. We have what's called positive and negative cambered curves in the track, so that way they get to learn on everything that that car could possibly put them in a situation. So it would end up being just kind of like a regular road, and then we would have a straightaway, and then we would have a big section where we do all our slow speed stuff. That's it. Other than that, there isn't much of anything to the to my initial plans.
What kind of volume of participants would you expect to see through the year?
We would probably have, because you're only open about 4 days a week, so it's events. So our average event right now is about 40, 45 people. When we start doing EVOC stuff, we'll probably end up having 70 or 80 people on site. And part of that is because I'll be big enough to run two and three different scenarios with the ambulances and the fire trucks. So I would say on an average day, 40 to 50. If we have club events, maybe from 50 to 60 or 70.
And typical hours of operation you'd be looking at?
10 o'clock, 9 or 10 o'clock until 4 o'clock is typically when we run.
The noise level from the neighbors that are living over on Reservoir Road, what happens with that?
Wonderful question. When I was in last time, when I was done, one of the neighbors said, she goes, "I don't think I'm going to like this." She said, "Yeah," because it was very, she goes, "It sounds noisy." And I said, "Well, you must have hated it when it was a golf course." And she went, "What?" I said, "Well, at 5 o'clock in the morning, you had four tractors that were mowing, and they put out about 110 decibels. The average car that we use, the Mustangs and those type of things, put out between 70 and 75 decibels. So, and we certainly don't start at 5 o'clock in the morning. So when you look at just the traffic on Reynolds Road, you literally have 30,000 vehicles and tractor trailers and motorcycles that are far louder than anything that we're going to be having. All our stuff, and I say that with a little caveat, all our stuff is typically street legal. So if it's on my track, it can be driving past your house at 2 o'clock in the morning. So with few exceptions, most everything is just going to be a street-worthy car or truck. No motorcycles, you know, nothing that's historically allowed.
And I think you already answered this, but I just want to ask again. Now you go some places and they train people to drive their Jeep or their four-wheel drive vehicle in conditions that are normally slow maneuver. Mm-hmm. Do you see doing anything like that? Is that something that's in the plans for down the road?
I certainly could, only because it's so big. And things, you know, I know Jay Curtis very well. And Jay put a little mini track behind Curtis Lumber in Boston Spa. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while they'll have Jeep instructors come in. And so those are all types of things that would not be, you know, out of the realm of possibilities. So one of the things that we really try to strive on, you know, without sounding hokey, is if you pull out of the driveway of my house, within 200 feet, there's a telephone pole, and I'm surrounded by Saratoga Side. That's the businesses. So, and there's one telephone pole, and there isn't anything for 50 feet to the left, 50 feet from the right, and there was two people who were killed on that spot. And one of the reasons is, after teaching, and yeah, I've taught Olympians how to drive bobsleds, that was my former career, I teach people how to drive cars, it was two young people. What happens is physically, when you start to be in a panic mode, and you see that there's a telephone pole, you drive right into it, until you're trained. So what happens is, even though those two people could have easily gone to the right and driven into a field and been fine, or driven into the left, when you are in a situation in a car and you start to panic, you'll actually get fixated and you'll drive right into what you're trying to avoid. So those are all the type of things, and you know, as I drive to Murrow, you're constantly seeing on the side of the road, you know, the little memorials to people who have lost their lives, and especially kids. And so for us to sit there and teach them how to have respect for a vehicle, teach our emergency services people how to sit there and drive safely to that scene, and you know, it's all something that we take rather seriously, which is one of the reasons why a couple of years ago I said that if I'm going to be living in Murrow, you know, I want all the kids to know how to drive. I want the emergency services people to have access to the track where we can all sit there and then learn and be better drivers.
Questions? Oh, wait, I do have one. You talk about things that you might do. Mm-hmm. Are there other things that you might do that you could share with us? Like, you know, we talked about 4x4. Okay, so anything else that you see could eventually be there?
Yeah, I can. I've had a few conversations. Like I said, you know, I'm not going to surprise you by telling you that I've already spoken to a lot of the people who own businesses in Murrow, and they love me, of course. But it was also very important for me to meet a lot of the people around Reynolds Road who would be my neighbors. And dealing with a couple of the people, you know, I've talked to Mr. Hooper on numerous occasions, and he's talking about, you know, doing some stuff with the stables and things like that. And I've told him, you know, I have a ton of acres there, and if he feels that he wants to include that as part of, you know, his trails or something, you know, I'd be more than willing to do it. Yeah, I'm also pretty much done in October, November, which leaves 5 or 6 months of the winter. So if the town wanted me to put in an ice skating rink or, you know, cross-country skiing or something like that, I'll gladly hand you guys the keys, and I'll see you back in April. But primarily my business model is to take care of those people who want a private club, and the money that they generate allows me to be very generous with the first responders, the sheriff's department, and the students. So that's really kind of my business model. Like I said, I've done a fair amount of work on television. I coached in the Olympics for years, and so I've kind of had that background. NBC Universal has asked me if I wanted to do like a celebrity race, things like that. So sometime in the future, you know, maybe you would see, I won't name drop, but there's a number of people who are, you know, who are in that world that think doing a little autocross drive is fun. I've been approached by all our local TV stations, and I've just rented out different locations and asked if Don Brazil can race, you know, Benin Design and that type of thing. So there's always a lot of interest in it. And really, once again, you know, that would kind of good for the town. If the town wants me to put on a little something, I could do it. And if not, I'm very content just being my little niche in my little private club.
As far as emergency vehicle operations and training, mm-hmm. are you currently working with local entities?
Yes and no. I mean, I've done some stuff for some private ambulance companies. I also have some of the people in the Saratoga Sheriff's Department that were in the process of starting up some local training. So, in fact, if you give me just a second, I'll tell you the name of the sheriff's deputy. Sorry, I got off a plane a couple hours ago. So, Jay Waring. So it's a so he's one of the people who are in charge of Saratoga Academy for the EVOC training, and I just got done talking to him a few minutes ago, and he just said that it's really kind of a crucial low. In fact, a lot of the towns now are actually having it that the police aren't chasing people. Part of that is because they don't want to endanger, you know, the rest of the community, and part of it is they just don't feel that their officers have enough training to actually turn on the lights and go fast. So.
Okay. Thanks.
Are you, Mr. President, moving to give Mr. Conklin an answer tonight?
No, but I
kind of poll or anything.
Nope. No, and like I said, I live fairly locally. I have no problem coming up and meeting, you know, or if somebody has a question, by all means, whether it be the town or the town board, I have I'm very open to answering any questions that anyone has.
Do you have a copy of the map, a smaller version that you could?
I can leave that one here if you like.
I'd just like to get a closer look at it. You answered a lot of my questions the last time you were here, so thank you for coming back. I know there were some board members that were interested at that point in time, but we'll talk amongst ourselves.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Yep.
Come on.
Can I comment on this? At this point or not, I don't know.
Well, we have a privilege of the floor later down, but if you want to, there's a limit of 3 minutes, if you want to make comments to the board,
yes.
We don't entertain any question and answer, but if you want to make comments, that's fine.
Okay, I'm Jim Hooper from right across the street there at the horse farm, and I just want to say Steve has been really good as far as coming and meeting with my wife and I on several occasions and talked about, you know, what we, you know, could vision happening over there. One of the things that I expressed to the town board a few times in the past is that, you know, we'd like to see something happen over there. We want to see something happen over there, and I'd rather see it be with somebody like Steve who's coming to the town and saying, you know, you tell me what you're going to allow, and I'll stay within your guidelines, but we can work together. I think it's a great situation where some action up front can prevent problems later, and we can create something here for the town of Monroe. So with the horse farm, obviously, we had our concerns about noise and lots of concerns, but I'm convinced that Steve is going to keep that in mind, so that's our view from across the street anyway.
Thank you.
The next item on this evening's agenda is a presentation by Jim Plant with Repeat Business Systems. I think all the board members have a copy of his handout at this point in time.
Yes.
Thank you.
you'd like one as well.
Trust me.
I'm good.
Okay. Thank you for the time. I appreciate it. I had reached out and just wanted to make our company available as a resource to the town. And we work with a number of municipalities here in the Capital District on their document management. And what is document management? It is copy, scan, print, fax, information capture, how information flows through your organization, how it's shared. And if we use technology, oftentimes the existing technology that's in place, to consult with the town to show you how you can be more efficient. And we have hardware products, copy machines, multifunction products. We have IT consulting, really in the area of document management. How is paper-based information being captured and shared throughout your organization? We have a team of consultants that specialize in specific areas, like, for example, FOIL requests and accessing information in a timely manner if, in fact, that's an issue for the town. It is with some of the bigger municipalities, and I suspect the town of Morrell comes across this issue here and there, too. But really what we do is we consult to help you understand how information is flowing through your agencies, through your staff, and how we can help you improve upon that. I know with a lot of municipalities, there's a lot of paper. There's a lot of legacy processes where there's still file cabinets. We offer services for back file scanning and digitization of information, so we can manage a project from start to finish where we would scan documents, capture the information in searchable electronic form, and then destroy the documents, the paper-based documents. We can do backfile scanning or day-forward scanning services. So there's a lot of technology solutions that we're able to work with the town on. And I know my time is limited, but I wanted to make sure that I provided you a background on our company. Repeat has been around for 30 years. We're based in Albany. We are a New York State women-owned business enterprise. We're one of the largest providers of technology of this kind in the Capital District. Bigger isn't always better, but bigger is better in terms of field technicians and field engineers out able to respond to our customers. And so that's why I say we're one of the largest. We support all of Albany Medical Center, all of Ellis Hospital, all of Saratoga Hospital, with their fleet of equipment and their document technology. So we have the infrastructure as a company to support the town, and I think that's important. The company is in Albany. I'm here in Glens Falls, born and raised. And we also, there's another sheet in your packet there about some of our programs. We're part of a program called U.S. Communities, which is basically a program where our products and services are offered through a nationally bid process, which 99% of the time meets the bid requirements for local municipalities, which means that it's already been put out to bid nationally. The pricing is the 500-plus unit price. And what this does is it allows the town of Morrell to piggyback onto this program. It's actually originated in Fairfax County, Virginia, but municipalities and nonprofits can piggyback on this contract. So there's some really aggressive programs in terms of the technology that we offer. But again, just wanted to give an overview, wanted to introduce myself, make myself available as a resource. We work with a lot of towns of similar size to Morrell, Hadley, Corinth, Easton, Bennington, Hartford, Milton, Warrensburg. There's quite a few, as well as cities. And I work first with a lot of nonprofits as well. But thank you for your time. My 5 minutes is almost up. Can I answer any questions?
Sure. Any board members have questions, comments?
Jim and I know each other, and that's not how he got here, but I can speak for him being a very credible guy.
Jim, question if I could. The town currently has a mixed fleet of devices, a lot of local attached printers at all their stations. They got a couple workhorses, some they lease, some they own, some are under maintenance, some aren't. How does Repeat approach possibly that kind of situation when that's the kind of assets that exist today?
Well, we can offer what we call managed print services, where we actually can manage an entire fleet of printers, whereby our company services the product, provides toner automatically, the toner levels get low, and that's agnostic in terms of brand. So if you've got an HP printer and a Dell printer and a Konica printer, we can usually assume a service role for the entire fleet in terms of printers, desktop printers. It's a little different animal with the multifunction, the bigger multifunction peripherals. That's generally, they're manufacturer specific in terms of who can service them, and what technicians are trained, Ricoh or Konica Reynolds or Canon or Xerox. But in terms of printers, desktop printers, we offer a service where we can kind of help you manage the whole fleet and optimize your costs. Because, you know, the cost to print documents is one of the most often overlooked costs for any organization, and the costs can actually be astronomical. It's staggering. You know, one of the things that we look at or help you to see is your cost per page to generate a piece of paper, as well as to retrieve information from it. You know, retrieve it from a file, and we have tools that allow you to kind of look at that true cost. And I know when you get into the foil realm, it's extremely time-consuming, and it's very expensive.
How would Repeat go about helping the town figure out what kind of cost savings they can realize, being that you aren't currently, you know, familiar with the environment? If you just share with the board.
Sure, yeah, we have some tools where we can actually plug into a network, and we can also do a walkthrough and look at local devices, capture your volume that is printed on each device, and take a snapshot of the month, and then we can actually give a report to the town that tells you what your true cost per page is on each and every device, and it's different. And, you know, hopefully make some recommendations as to how your fleet could be consolidated, how you can drive print volume to different devices that have a lower cost per page. You know, there's lots of tools that we have to help give consultants with that.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions?
I think if the board is interested, I'd like to have the Economic Development Technology Committee maybe work with Jim for proposal, and then maybe a recommendation. We can vet it through the committee process, and as the board is interested, bring it back to the full board for more discussion.
Sure.
That work?
A proposal with regards to which area?
You were just talking with Council Member Van Tassel.
Okay.
About being able to come up with a true cost for the devices and things like that. I mean, you might be able to hone that in a little bit sharper.
Yeah, let's chat a little bit more about it. Outside of this meeting, I can give you some framework, but I think the two areas are going to be a better understanding on our costs, current cost per page, and that might help drive some decisions around how we print today.
Sure.
And I think there's another subject that's worth exploring, and that's some sort of analysis on possibly some efficiencies, because there's another way to save money, and that's efficiency. So why don't we chat one-on-one and put some framework around that.
Yeah.
And then you can work with us.
Sure.
Right.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Taking the time to come before the board.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Next item on this evening's agenda is transfer station requests, and the first item I have, I'm not sure that we are ready to move forward on it. There was a request for signage. I don't know if Council Member Claire has been working with transfer station.
Yes, I day. It had to do with the cleaning of the compact building, but I also, Lisa and I talked afterward. I was going to go over to transfer station and take pictures of what we currently have for signs so that I could email them to each of you. We have a list of the signs that Ted recommended we might order. They're based on information also from the employees that I discussed to them. So I thought I would take pictures, but it was raining, so I thought I'm not going to take them today. So I will take pictures in the next day or two, and we'll each get pictures of the signage that is there. The concern was if you buy all these signs in bright orange or great big signs, we've got to kind of think about if we want a different color or what we want. So I'd like to just send them to you for your comments so that when we bring it to the board, we're not at that beginning stage of deciding what we think of them.
That would be very helpful to have a recommendation from the transfer station. And be happy to act on it. We do have some quotes here. I just don't think we're ready to act on this evening.
No, we're not. Ted and I are going to have it ready by next board meeting. He says he feels that the staff can do the ceiling on the building that John and I had talked about. That he has a quote from supplies from Curtis, and he's going to go to Lowe's and Home Depot to compare costs to see if that's the best prices. And he is pretty well set with the cleaning services. One company is exterior, would come back, but he has two bids from two companies that seem to have approximately the same service and offer the same process. And we'll have to go over those next week. I think he's already put those in your box, perhaps.
Yes.
And we'll go over
the power washing.
Yes, the power washing. So one in the middle of the hot wash cleaning, they came and only gave him a price on the exterior, and they didn't want to, or they didn't come back. When he asked them to come back, so he has all for all that. But American now is Performance Industrial. He said it's the same company, so.
So on All Pro it says interior only.
What does it say that?
On the right hand side, is that what that says?
Yes. So hogwash would not go
interior,
into the compactor and not clean.
Well, we want to clean the compactor. We don't need
to. The inside of the building where there's all the bird droppings, we'd like to clean that, have it sprayed, and be ready within just a couple of days to have the employees go in, and they're going to put.
OSB or something?
Something up in the top so the birds can no longer get up there and have droppings all over
everything. And we've done that. I guess we're just not sure on where we're comparing apples to apples. All Pro is interior only. Hogwash is exterior only. But what did we ask for them to quote?
Interior, but Hogwash quoted exterior and didn't come back when Ted requested them to give a price on interior. It's the interior.
Understood.
We do our own exterior.
Understood.
That this would require hazmat handling, so it's something that we can't just standardize in that one power washer.
So we'll wait for the committee to make recommendations to the full board. Once that's made, we'll bring up again.
And watch for the pictures. If you have any opinions on what you think should be there, colors on the signage and sizing, or just figured it's easier to look at it ahead and get a chance to think about it than to try to carry a discussion of where the signs are all what to do with them.
Okay, great. Thank you. Next item on this evening's agenda, I have the town parking ordinance. This continues to be an issue, particularly along Tanglewood Drive over by the high school with the sporting events that we have, and I continue to receive complaints from neighbors that reside over there about the lack of enforcement. I can tell you that when I made aware of an event, I had a direct conversation with the sheriff, who has been incredibly responsive in assigning a deputy to provide enforcement over there, but the issue continues. And years past, for many years, we had always budgeted monies for town part-time police officer. We still have the ability to hire a police officer, but statutorily we have to have the funding in place before we can make that hire. So I am proposing in my budget that we have funding available for a part-time police officer.
to do that enforcement. I know council is working on coming up with an amendment to local law regarding what roads we will have no parking on.
And I sent that over to you folks earlier this week. I worked with Paul on that. And there's a couple other roads we want to add to it. So we've got four or five roads that have been added to it. If the board desires, it could set a public hearing, or it could wait until the next meeting and set the public hearing at that meeting.
I would prefer to have the draft of the law board members' hands complete for review before we set the public hearing.
That's how I would like to do it too, but I'm not involved.
Okay. All right, so that's the latest on that. Next item on the agenda this evening is number 7, Highway Department requests. First item I have is a request from Maureen Ortiz to attend the annual North Country Stormwater Trade Show and Conference being held at the Highland Country Club in Queensbury on October 18th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. She's also requesting permission for Matt Drymiller to attend with her. Registration fee will be covered by our membership in the Intermunicipal Stormwater Management Program. Both she and Matt attended this last year and found them very informative.
Motion to approve.
Second. Discussion. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Next item I have, the Highway Superintendent's request to purchase diesel fuel. The spender's on state contract, right?
Correct.
From Sprague Operating Resources, 185 International Drive, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. They're looking for a blanket purchase over $15,000.
Yes.
And this would be paid from account DB 3742.460, or is that 57?
57.
5742.460 has a current balance of $19,511 as of September 4th.
Motion to approve.
Second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. And the next item I'm going to include under Highway before we move on, I was visited again today and also had a prior meeting with him several weeks ago, an individual who is the owner of the Sarah Glenn Hotel, which is right across the street from the Highway Garage, more directly across the street from the sand pile. And he was looking for town assistance regarding the blowing sand that now happens because there's no trees on his property to break the wind. And he's complaining of sand when there's a lot of wind coming through there that gets in all the recesses of his efficiencies in the rooms. And he has approached the board in years past, as recently as last, July, looking for some sort of assistance from the town board in helping mitigate this issue. I know I talked with Paul today about some possibilities. One of them was moving the pile. Paul informed me that as a result of where the new highway garage was located, we did not have that option. There's not enough room for sand to move it. And another option we discussed was covering the pile to minimize the blowing in sand. I know it can be done because in all my travels, daily travels to Albany, going down toward the Port of Albany, left hand side, all the salt that comes into the area in the barges is covered by some sort of fabric that keeps it dry and keeps it blowing around. So that, you know, there's information out there as to that possibility, and I think Paul is willing to look into that. The other issue, and I don't know if maybe a cheap workable solution is his only concern is during the time of year for June, July, August, and September up through October 15th, if we didn't have or add to the sand pile at that time, it would work because of his seasonal business. And I don't know if that's an option to not restock your pile during that period of year.
I just started restocking now because of the rainy time.
Right.
I can't do any other work. So. Right. Normally, we don't start until mid-October with all the rain we've had to start stopping.
Is it a possibility that we didn't add to the pile after your seasonal use was done until after October 15th?
We could hold off, but all of them sure holds off.
Right. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
That's probably
the truth. Because the first thing I did last spring was what was left with anything deep, we pushed it down.
Right.
So they're trying to minimize it.
Well, he was very clear and generous saying he didn't want to have the town incur additional costs. That if moving the pile was a possibility, it was fine with it just running out. But obviously, that's not an option. So I think the second best option is probably not to restock it until after October 15th.
Can I? Now, you mentioned about the rain or the weather, and that, like, I happened to swing by there today, and the conveyor was working, and but it was raining, and that he kind of, Paul was taking this opportunity with the wet weather to actually do this. There was no blowing of sand at this point. Does it normally blow off of a sand hill?
Not this time of year. We usually don't because it usually gets enough moisture that it sets up. But in the summertime, yes. We get a lot of blowing, even garbage coming out of the transfer station.
So as the weather dries out,
yeah.
It gets
usable. But in the springtime, after we're done with the sanding season, we try to push the pile down so it's as flat as can be. You know, that so might be the time to cover for the summer.
So that essentially mitigates the issue.
Yeah, I'm looking into some sort of coverage for it.
Okay.
Even if we did just one side to try to minimize it.
Yeah, and this individual's a little disappointed in the speed at which the town has looked at this because back on the July 25th, 2017 town board meeting, the prior supervisor had indicated that he's all for planting trees there, and he has thousands of them that the town can have. But in talking with the property owner, there's a clear recognition that because the pile is so high, there's no way we'll ever have a tree large enough to mitigate the blowing. So,
well, so it does blow across, it cuts down and blows downwards towards the fence. Because I see what there is minimal. There isn't a great deal.
Would it be helpful if we put a screen on that fence?
That would probably help some.
So,
but then prior board members didn't want anything there, so they could see the view of the mountains.
It's a what, 6 foot fence?
Yes.
Those mountains are higher than 6 foot.
I don't know. I'm just passing along.
Okay.
I
think that screen would be more than you realize. It's only about 3 feet up for most of that when it was in the path through.
Why don't you see if you get a quote for us for a screening on the fence? And in the interim, I'll let them know we discussed the possibility of holding up on restocking next year. And we'll see how that works. I'll put the board okay with that.
Yes.
Okay. Item 8 on the agenda this evening is Water Department. We had a workshop regarding tap fees for different sizes of lines. And as we moved through the year, we got requests for fees for 2-inch lines, which cost significantly more than what we currently have set for pricing. And just as provided to the board members at that meeting, a recommendation for what the tap should be with a meter and what the cost would be for a meter only.
actually agree with the fees that he has in place currently. It's a $1,400 fee across the board. And in some instances, that's not even covering our costs. We figured the cost of copper, labor, et cetera. And, you know, we can't be in the business where we're not covering our costs for these types of services. So my suggestion is to adopt the recommendations that Jesse has put forward and the town board discussed at the water workshop. At this time, we'll entertain any discussion on it. I can read down to the base. You should all have a copy of them. It's here?
Yeah.
Please suggest it. Yeah, so for the record, I'll read down the list.
The only thing you might want to change is the 3/4 inch short tap. Everything should start at 1400 just like it is now.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't decreasing that. So what we have for I'll go right across the line for a 3/4 inch short tap. Fee with meter would be remain at $1,400. For purchase of a meter only, it would be $375. A 3/4 inch long tap, which is one that goes underneath the road, would be increased to $2,275, with the meter remaining at $375. For a 3/4 inch open cut long, which is when you have to open up the highway, that amount for fee with meter would increase to $3,275 with $375 for a meter only. Moving up to 1-inch taps, short would be $1,450 with the meter $575. 1-inch long tap would be $2,600 with $575 for a meter only. 1-inch open cut long would be $3,600, which would be with the meter. Meter only would be $575. For inch and a half short, the amount would be $1,750 with $805 for the meter only. Inch and a half long would be $3,950 with the meter only $805. Inch and a half open cut long would be $4,950 with the amount for the meter at $805. Moving into the 2-inch category, short would be $2,850 with the meter only $1,050. 2-inch long would be $4,450 with the meter only $1,050. And finally, a 2-inch open cut long would be $5,450 with the meter only $1,050. Anything over that, we've had requests up as much as 6 inches. We don't have the equipment to do that, and it's going to have to be contracted out, so that will remain at whatever price the contractor's price is to do it. Do you have any comments on those, additional comments on those pricing?
No, they would still be responsible to buy the meter from us. Anything that they put out the bid, the tap.
Oh, I'm sorry, anything over the 2 inch. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be whatever the cost is. And it certainly won't be as less than what the numbers are outlined. So, with that, I don't know what the board's pleasure is on it this evening.
We need a resolution for both to approve.
If you want to adopt these fees, I need a resolution to do so.
Well, that was the outcome of our workshop, so I would present a motion to approve as presented.
Seconded.
Any discussion on that? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. And next item, underwater department, Jesse is looking for a change in our procurement policy. Currently it's $500. After that, you need town board approval, but many of the expenses that he has get up into the $500 to $1,000 range. So my recommendation is change the procurement policy from $500 to $1,000. For the water department.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. That's it for water department, Jesse. You all set?
I'm all set. Thank you.
Okay.
Item 9 on the agenda is the Greater Glens Falls Transportation Agreement, which is a two-year agreement that the town contracts with that entity. And I do not have authority to sign the contract, and will need it. And the amount of the contract for each of the next 2 years would be a payment of $4,877 for anticipated operational general expenses and capital expenses. And it would run January 1st, 2019 through December 31st, 2019, first day. That's too good.
I have a 2019 through.
Yeah, the last payment for 2 years.
Page one, partway down.
So no, it is January 1st, 2019 through
December 31st. Okay.
Yes, that's 2 years. That's 2 years.
Yeah.
Is there any concern that that conflicts with the wording in number 6?
Right.
The January 1, 2019 through December 31, 2019?
2020.
It says 2020. It says 2019. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, so I guess.
Yeah.
The Article 1, the term of the agreement, is for 2 years, but the amount paid, it says initial payment, is for 1 year. So are we paying that amount for each year?
Yes. But it's not spelled out.
I think what you should do is when you make your motion to allow the supervisor to sign it, you also allow the changing of the anything in the document so that it reflects a two-year term rather than a one-year.
Understood. Just to be clear, though, whoever knows the answer, the $48.77 is an annual fee, right? We'd be paying that fee each year for the 2 years we're currently agreement.
Yes.
Motion authorizing the supervisor to sign the agreement with the City of Glens Falls, the transportation agreement. Also noting allowing for revision of wording in number 6 indicate it matches the term of the agreement. As noted in the article number 1.
Any discussion?
I'm just curious, is this, how different is this number compared to what was paid in the past, 4877 going forward?
I think it's 2%.
Okay, so it's kind of.
No, well, it, actually, there's a Rubicon formula for coming up with it. It's based on population and things like that.
Okay.
So,
yeah, all right.
It's not. I'm just,
but it's not like double the price.
Oh, no, no, no. And I can tell you that in 2017, GGFC carried 11,724 passengers for the year, and on average, 977 riders per month for number 5 and row group.
Yeah,
and I can tell you what the other communities pay as far as their local share. The City of Glens Falls will be paying $56,734, County of Queensbury $59,137, Village of Hudson Falls $6,577, Village of South Glens Falls $6,405, Village of Fort Edward $7,620, Town of Monroe $4,877. And time for their order is $3,522. And there's also contributions by the Town of Lake George, 9402, Village of Lake George, 9402, and Town of Bolton, $2,075, and Town of Kingsbury, $3,522. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Thank
discussion on the proposal by Bart and Judas to conduct a conditions assessment of the roof insulation ventilation system at the old annual highway garage buildings that were under 9. The amount provided in the proposal was $4,000. The board wanted one more time to review, and so we tabled it for this until this meeting. So what would you like to do with that?
Well, I satisfied my concerns, so motion to approve.
Is there any way that they would give us the credit that we have? Because they're going to do it if we decide to go with them.
Well, we have enough, so this is a separate engineering firm reviewing what may or may not have happened.
I was thinking they were evaluating it and then perhaps we have a proposal to do it, and I thought if we proposed to do it, we had $2 at the bank and then we'll get it.
I'm going to ask.
You have a motion, so you might want to second, but then I have a question.
Is there
a procedure?
No second.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay, so we'll do discussion.
I just have a question, because the town does have a contract with Laverge to create all the bid documents and everything for the group. This wouldn't be in counteracting, correct?
No, so this would be basically part of the checks and balances that the town board is embarked on.
I just want to make sure that the board's aware that you already have something from Laverge. You have an analysis and a contract with them to create the bid documents, to create the specs, to create the contract.
Correct.
Okay. Sure.
Can I come
up? Yep.
So, in the deliverable they gave so far to us, their estimates came back to the high. They're looking for a way to get a second opinion. The estimated numbers that they had presented us had us up to a million or more for repair. We needed to get another opinion, so that's why we were engaging another engineering firm. Did that approach cause any concern?
It doesn't cause any concern with them. If they're just looking at it, you already have a contract with Laverge to do the work.
Yeah, they're not creating the bid documents. They're evaluating what's wrong with the garage and separately.
Okay. Is that...
We were engaging them to give us an opinion or to do an evaluation, not to create the bid document.
Well, and that's what I wanted to do. There was a comment made, and you may have just made it that, or maybe John did too, that if we pay the $4,000 to review it, then they're going to expect to get the contract to do it. I wanted you to know you already have a contract to do it.
Understood.
Right.
So the answer to your question is no.
Okay.
if they come back with some other information that's greatly different in their opinion what the cost should be, even though we already have a contract for the birds to move forward, how are we going to how would you advise the board to?
I would think you'd want to have a conversation with Laverge.
Okay. All right.
Because I think they're working on the bid documents as we speak.
And I've done outreach, and I did not have that.
Okay. I just want to make sure you folks are all protected. Well, the town's protected.
Right.
We appreciate it.
So, Todd, am I correct in saying that you had outreach with Laverge and you haven't been recontacted?
I was hoping to have an update for the board for this meeting. I don't have.
With that, can we table this?
Do it if you want.
Okay. I don't want to move forward on this without hearing something more from them as far as the work.
Yeah, their work's going to be all inclusive, providing actual bid documents.
Right.
So, you know, it is time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, they're also the engineers of record for our sewer proposal. So, you know, we're stretching them a little thin in what we're asking of them. But, you know, now that we've moved on from the sewer vote, you know, they're focusing on this now, of course.
Okay.
Well, I withdrew my motion, and so you're going to reach out now and maybe have them stand out for a little bit. I'm concerned that we don't get another opinion. I'd still like to see us just do an option. You get an opinion when it's such a significant expense.
But yeah, the genesis of this was for the benefit of the public. When we got our initial cost estimates for the new highway garage, we're coming up at $575,000 to replace that roof with a guarantee on a relatively big building, and that's a lot of money. So the town board, because we do have multiple engineers for the town, suggested at that time that the board reach out and get someone else to also evaluate what needs to happen at the highway, new highway garage and the old highway garage. So we have a proposal for us, which we've had since for some time now, in the amount of $4,000 to accomplish that goal. So we're having a discussion on whether we want to move forward on that. But it sounds like we want to wait until we hear back and get more information. I mean, I don't know how that will impact our decision on this, because they are working on one of the documents. And I expect that they're going to come in within the price range that they
Okay, so, all right, so just to be clear, I guess, LaBerge has already done their evaluation of what the building needs.
Correct.
And they have an estimate based upon what they feel it needs. We're looking at this engineering group to go back in and look at this and say, it's possible it doesn't need everything that LaBerge is saying we need.
Yes, there's one other variable.
Are you done?
Okay.
Maybe.
But there's one other variable. We have also, besides having LaBerge, we had another quote.
Correct.
It was extremely low. Like
136,000.
How much?
136,000.
Yeah, so we had these two numbers that were so disparaging.
Right.
That we, that's why I just want to share that.
No, okay. So my understanding is
141,000.
With LaBerge, there was the idea that this whole roof gets replaced, and then there was somebody else who came in and offered a quote for a coating on the roof. But there's concern about whether this roof will actually not only take the weight of the coating, but any weight that might happen from snow loads.
Correct.
And LaBerge can't look at that to say, I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, they're an engineering group. They can't look at that as being a possibility. Or
I think they looked at it informally. Yeah, I've had conversations about that.
Okay, and they basically just pushed it off to the side and said that's not a...
Well, the problem is doing that methodology, there's no warranty. One thing that we've learned...
you want a warranty. Okay. So with the Barton and the douche...
The Judas.
They're going to
said they will independently evaluate both garages.
Okay.
And tell us what they think needs to happen.
All right. Well, with that said, I'm okay moving forward with this. I'd be willing to say yes, let's do that, because it sounds like LaBerge has an idea about what they feel it needs, and that's it, and this is what the cost is going to be. And we have some information that maybe that's not necessary.
I think we lack enough information to form the right decision. My opinion, we lack enough information and enough opinions from another professional to make the right decision for the taxpayer. That was the position I
had. Okay. With that, I agree.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I like the idea of having a second opinion. I think we owe it to the community to do that. This has been up in the air some amount of time. It's an embarrassment to have this building in such bad condition with all the money we spent on it. So I think $4,000 in the amount of money that we may be spending is a good assurance that what we're doing is the right thing. What additional money we're spending is well.
Yeah, but this discussion you're having, we're having, has been positive. Are you willing to second motion at this point?
Let me present a motion authorizing the supervisor to enter an agreement with Barton and the Judas for them to perform proposed services on the condition assessment of the roof, insulation and ventilation systems that the old and new highway garage. The fee proposal cost in the amount of $4,000.
Second.
Any additional discussion?
Just that.
Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. And this will come out of account A5132.472, which has a current balance of $48,258.15.
One more comment?
Yes.
And just a reminder, if it wasn't here ever when you announced it, that it did not come right on it?
I did. So for the benefit of the public, I did announce it already, but I received a call from Senator Marchione's office 2 weeks ago saying that she will earmark $200,000 for repairs in the highway garage roof. So we have already applied for that grant. The paperwork is in, and it's meandering its way through the approval process. And we're not out of the woods until it's under contract with the State Dormitory Authority. And so once we get that, we'll be in pretty good shape. So we have our fingers crossed that that money will materialize.
Thank you
for that.
And we had, I had done a letter on behalf of the board asking her for that funding several months ago. And I'm very pleased and thankful that she responded the way she did. Next item is privilege of the floor. Anybody like to address the board?
Thank you. Thank you for hearing me tonight. My name is Tim Harper. I live on 40 Reynolds Road. I've lived there for approximately 4.5 years. My issue is I'd like to try to have the road fixed if possible. I'd show you guys pictures of it. For some reason, about 3 years ago or 4 years ago, half the road got done. It's a county road, and the rest has not been done. So, can I pass this down where you got? I wish I had more to show you guys, but it's kind of the last minute and a long day for me. I didn't, wasn't prepared to be here tonight. I wish I had a picture of the other half of the road. For whatever reason, they did half the road and the other half is not done. But I noticed a lot of road work is being done. So if there's any spare blacktop, if they just come and put some blacktop down, it'd be highly appreciated. I don't think it has to go through, you know, all the politics, but I mean, that's up to you guys. The other thing I'd like to say is, I had it all in my mind, but I lost it. Jim Hooper is my landlord. He does the best he can. He's, you know, tries to work with you guys. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm so tired. I'm sorry. I lost it. Anyway, if, I think the point that I was trying to make is if there's any way that you guys could work with us on the road, there's a drainage system problem that we'd be more than happy to take care of because it needs a culvert too. But like I said, if I had pictures of the other half of the road, we would work on that together, me and him, and I believe that would save taxpayers money and everybody would be happy, then I wouldn't have to be here making a fool out of myself.
You're not making a fool out
of myself. All right, I'll just say it. And on the other, one other thing I'd like to say. Steve, I don't know his name.
Cotton.
Unfortunately, I have a nephew that was in Homeland Security that wasn't properly trained. And he lost his life because he probably didn't know how to drive a vehicle. He, you know, it was after 9/11, he was pushed in. Everybody was pushed into a lot of things. I don't know him, but I I listened to his story. I thought he made a good point about being properly trained. That's pretty much all I got to say. And if you guys could help me out with this road, doesn't have to happen this year. I plan on being here for many years to come. So, and it's only a quarter mile, so come up with some extra asphalt, come down, throw it down, and we'll take care of the drainage system. Thank you for your time.
Appreciate Thank you, Mr. Harper. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Mr.
All I would do first of all is apologize to Todd for a couple weeks ago. This road's been going on for quite a while. Quite a few of you know it, and the history behind it. I had all I could take, and I started running just on Todd, and I went off down to town hall, and I went down, and he got an end of it. And I want to apologize for that, because I'm better than that. But we do need to have something done. But we can work together and rectify this. I know we can, So however we do it, I hope that the rest of what happened before can be forgotten and we can move forward. The positive is my wife and I got our 501c3 designation this month, so now we have our nonprofit organization running at the farm. We're prepared to give the South Williams Falls School District $1,000 scholarship for mental health counseling. So the farm's trying. We're trying to help out. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hooper. Apology accepted, and congratulations on receiving your 501c3 status. Mr. Kansas.
I have a lot to say, so I'll try to be fast. First, the Crandall Library has nobody from our town running for the open trustee seat, so I would maybe the board members reach out to somebody in their network to do a writing campaign, and maybe we can ask Leanne putting that on the town website. There's nobody that's running. It's open. Richard Lomelli is not running for his seat, which ends this year. I'm presently not been appointed, and my seat runs through 2019. On the Barrow Motorsports Club, the question we failed, I'd like to know, is what kind of sales tax revenue? Is this going to be property tax revenue that we're going to get to the town? Will there be any sales tax revenue? That wasn't discussed at all. And three, the map for the local law for the streets. That would be nice to have a map to see what streets, and so we could physically see when you bring it up at the local law and see maybe do some a radius of how far away from the tank street, just make it a better view for everybody. And to talk me the water fees. What happened when Mr. Jenkins was the supervisor? We have a big controversy in describing what the water fees were, and it was lengthy. There were several residents that came several times trying to get an answer. So now that you've established the new fees, explaining why they are what they are, that was the big, nobody could explain what the numbers were. And that was a big, as you can remember, came back several times, and so we can get that. Mr. Hooper's road. If you review your board minutes, Supervisor, there were several agreements done. I know Mr. Pendergrass, Mr. Hooper had some discussion and was in the board minutes on some agreement between the town and Mr. Hooper about that road. It's very clear. I know Carla did a lot of work on the abandonment and who actually owns the road and who doesn't. That's been done over again. So, and finally, Todd, since we're the fifth largest town in the county and you represent us on board, how about doing kind of like a little blog and telling us what you're doing in the county when you're there? I mean, you probably have an important position being so high up on the ranking. I'd love to hear about that. I mean, we don't hear about that here at the town. And I know the county government is a little bit different than the town board with the county manager there. But if we could hear a little bit about what's going on in the county, that'd be great. There's no real newspaper really covers the county. Thank you.
Actually, I do provide updates when I think they're of significance, but if you want to know what I'm doing down there, I'm voting. And I do have an update on the supervisor's items. Any other member of the public want to be heard?
Can I just comment on what he talked about with Mr. Pendergrass a couple years ago? He said there was a clear resolution at that time, but if there was, I sure don't know where it was or what it was. I know at that time Mr. Pendergrass thought that I had an ulterior motive for wanting to take over ownership of the road. When I asked to take over ownership of the road, you know, it was because I could save the taxpayers money and it would be easier that way. So all I've ever asked for is pave the road one time. I told his people, don't do the culvert. Culverts are very expensive. I don't need the culvert redone. I have a backhoe. I'll take care of the drainage. Pave it one time and give it to us, or pave it and just keep taking it as is. Either way, I don't care, but it just needs to be paved.
And anyone else? If not, with that, we'll move on to supervisors' items. First item I wanted to point out is I had a meeting with a representative of the American Legion this week, a new individual who was working very hard to reestablish the post here in town of Monroe. As you know, unfortunately, they lost their rights and reverted back to the county, and he's trying to reestablish it here in town of Monroe. The American Legion does a lot of great things for our community, including working to help us with some projects at the rec. And in our general conversation, they're looking for a building to establish as American Legion. And we had a very informal conversation about the possibility of maybe working out an agreement with our old sheriff's substation. We're still, we have a long way to go financially. It's something that they can't entertain right now, but I like the way he was thinking and the way we actually had a great conversation. One of the things that he's looking for, and I've actually addressed it in my budget, which will be released this week, is getting flags for all the veterans' graves, having them in place. He thought it cost about $750. I've earmarked $800 in the cemetery account for that. He thought he could work with various groups, maybe Boy Scouts, to help get them out there in a timely fashion. If the town were able to assist him in purchasing the flag, I thought that was a great idea. I received a complaint in my office today from a woman who was looking for making the town hall handicap accessible. And of course, the town hall is handicap accessible, but she was looking for a ramp for egress on the other side of the building with an automatic door or a buzzer where somebody will come out and open the door. So I wanted to bring that to the board's attention because this is something that we have brought to our attention before. And if the board's so inclined, we can talk about it at budget time. Councilmember Hogan and myself were invited to a fire company demonstration with a private vendor over in our industrial park regarding software and equipment that would be able to measure fire flows at our hydrants and would result in those hydrants being tagged with one of five colors, I think. Indicates what kind of flow you would have. I know that the fire company was very interested in what they had, what they provided to us in the demonstration. Obviously, there's a cost associated with that, and I suggested to the fire company that they work with the vendor and get a cost for that service. So that may be something we'll be discussing at budget time. The last item that I have on the supervisor's items is, actually one more, but the next one is dog cases. The town board, as part of our legal contract with the firm attorney firm for the town, does not have provisions for dog cases contained in it. Is that accurate?
Right. The contract was changed a few years ago to just keep them in. As dangerous dog cases, we will come in just under our regular litigation.
So we had an instance where we, for a court appearance tomorrow, Dexter was looking for
assistance with legal counsel because the other side was going to have an attorney there. That's been adjourned, so it's not something that we have to worry about for tomorrow, but I'm looking for a direction from the board. If you'd like our firm, the town's firm, to give us a quote for those types of services or how you want to handle it.
Well, just so the board is aware, the way it's worked is we come in as basically the ADA on dangerous dog cases. We do not represent the town running large cases, which is what this one is. We did one a few years ago because there were extenuating circumstances because the individual was also suing the zoning board, so the town wanted us present, but we don't do this. So Dexter came to me and said, you're going to be there, and I went to Todd and said, am I going to be there? And so that now it's up to you folks. I mean, generally speaking, your DCO can do running in large cases. Mm-hmm. I don't. It would be outside of retainer, so I don't want to take your money for something that your DCO can do.
Okay.
Running in large is not an issue. Mm-hmm. Not a major stuff.
Correct.
Is this regarding that one now?
That's a different one.
Was there a new one for this?
No, just the dog was running, as far as I know.
There was an animal jumped on the family, young family member, not the dog's crash.
So that means still running.
According to the statement provided to the town.
I know nothing about it. I just need to know if you want me to show up or not.
Yep. They were to go to court and win. Does that have any effect on our show?
No.
Or is it you can't say, well, it wasn't out of before.
Oh.
I don't know enough about the facts of the case, and I wouldn't want to describe them in public anyway.
Does the town have exposure?
No, this is just like if I was a district attorney. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just, you know, an enforcement action.
Has Dexter represented himself in these
dogs? The only reason that he called our office was because the defendant was supposed to get an attorney. He got nervous, so he called us.
Did he discuss it with you?
He discussed it with my partner.
My suggestion would be, can you give the town a quote that I can share with the board for the future?
For future, yes. But so tomorrow's the adjournment, that seems to me.
That's pretty cool. You call me,
okay. Sure.
Cool.
I mean, it would just be underneath the regular, whatever our hourly rate is for litigation.
Is it not already covered in the contract? Is it
yes.
Under litigation?
Exactly.
I think it's in the contract. It's just not inclusive in our requirements.
But your policy has been don't have us show up at those because you're spending more tax dollars.
I'd stay with that policy. My opinion, we stay with the policy as is, with the exception of one-off cases in front of you.
And you're okay with me authorizing counsel to go to those cases in that instance?
I am.
Okay. I'm more working on it. That word.
Mm-hmm.
That word.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're all set. Next, thanks. The next item is on the supervisor's items. I have a letter from the St. Andrew Lutheran Church, dated September 13, 2018, to the Town Rural Recreation Department. It says, attention Sandy Mahoney. Dear Sandy, St. Andrew Lutheran Church in Southwest Falls has a strong, successful outreach program in support of our community, and I recall the support organizations that help those in need. One of our church's yearly fundraisers is Change for a Dollar, whereby members of our congregation literally drop change into a box every week from July through September. During these weeks, we also nominate charities to whom we would like to present donations, and on the last day, we vote for the top three. It is our pleasure to inform you that once again this year, your fundraising campaign for the Harry J. Vitar Recreation Park Playground Expansion Project is one of those top three. Please accept this check for $200 in support of the great work you do. It's truly God's work. The support you provide is so very needed and appreciated. We are very happy to be a small part of that effort. Yours in grace, Pastor Joyce Fiore, and the Social Ministries team. So, thank you for that. explanation.
Thank you.
I also have a letter from Hexion, which is a member of our industrial park. It says, "Dear Sir, Madam, please, enclosed, please find the updated 2018 emergency response plan for the Hexion Incorporated facility located in Verona, New York. This letter is a requirement of the hazardous waste regulations. It is intended to familiarize the town of Monroe with the layout of the facility, properties of the materials and hazardous waste handled at the facility, associated hazards of those materials, places where facility personnel would normally be working, and entrances to roads inside the facility, and possible evacuation routes. Please review the enclosed emergency response plan. If you do not agree with the arrangements contained within, please send us a written notification. If you have any questions, please contact me at 792-8040, extension 512. Sincerely, Renee Champagne, site leader." I mentioned earlier at the county water authority profited, made $1 million this year in sales, and as a result of that, they are giving it back to the county, and they are also expanding the number of municipalities to 10, I believe there's 7 now that are involved in the water authority. And I don't recall which 3 are, but there's some portion of the county. So that was great news to have that extra $1 million, which I'm sure will be put to good use. And the last item I had a meeting this afternoon with Stephanie Coots, which was last night, regarding the company Primely, who made a presentation regarding telecommunications services, and I'm going to refer that on to our technology, economic development, and what else?
Chief of all.
There we go.
Oh, that has to be there.
And that is all I have under supervisor items for this evening. Committee reports. Are there any committee reports?
I was going to say I haven't forgotten about the pricing of the new paper, and there's been some process to it, and we're going to see if maybe we're better off to do all of our purchasing from them. I'll have to go down and sit with them. Once Lisa gets into pricing, she's applied for all the paper products, and that we buy from other sources, so we have an actual dollar amount of what we're spending. Oh, I'm playing phone tag with National Grid about the easements on the riverfront. As soon as I hear from them, I will let you know, because they're in support of moving forward. Then I will come back to all of you and ask to reach out to Archaeological Conservancy and to General Electric. So that would be positive. The message is simple. He's been leaving, so moving.
Any other committee reports?
Yeah, in regards to cemetery, I took a tour of Rice Cemetery with Reed Davis last week. It was this week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's been busy. So there's some cleanup that should happen over there. I had meant to get down and talk to Dave about it. That has not happened yet, but I will get to it this week. And hopefully get that. There's some, as branches fall down, it seems like maybe our employees would just stack them in the back corner, kind of piling them up, and we really need to get them out of the cemetery. We also need to be cleaning up around the edges and think about, at budget time, about a fence of sorts around primarily the north and
west
side of that cemetery.
Good.
Okay?
Sounds good.
And the mayor is happy with Roy being back there mowing, just so you're aware.
Anytime we can help the village.
The sexual update of the sexual harassment mandate by New York State Council saw something different. They didn't release their final ruling, so it's yet undetermined what the real definition of interactive training is going to be and whether or not it's going to have to be annual or based on an employee's hire date, so it's a little harder for us to make a decision as to whether we bring in a trainer and do it on a schedule, or you're going to have some plan in place equals cost to do training on their anniversary. So we'll keep an eye on that. We do need to deploy a policy, and that ruling is already out. And our insurance company gave us a template. I think council looked at it and passed an opinion that that's okay. We should probably.
Yeah, we're kind of waiting. We're doing this for all of our clients. So we're waiting to see what the final rulings are going to be on everything to make sure, and then make sure the policies are in place. And we're also providing training in the town hall.
Okay.
We need to do it for ourselves too.
Yeah. There's some software-based, web-based training programs that are out there that are modeled off after what they did in other states, like California. If New York rules the same, then you know, there's some options there. We'll have to figure out what's most cost-effective to meet the mandate.
Any other committee reports? One committee that I did not provide is the negotiating team, which is myself and Councilmember Van Tassel, did meet again with CSEA representatives, and I'll be updating the board in the executive session on how those negotiations are going. Does any board member have anything else for open session?
Something I was approached by a fireman. They are hosting the Fireman's Convention in 2020, and it was a simple question. They wanted to know if they could do a booth drive and to collect money and ask the town what that clause is now. I think they thought that was one at one point in time, you know, state roads versus town roads, and if they could set up, you know, on Route 32 and Bluebird Road over that way, and when you stop, donate money in the booth. As it was one of the fundraisers, so I said, I'll paint the board and see what I can say after that.
I do know for a fact, after I had a conversation with council on several days ago, that state law prohibits coin drops of that nature in the state.
Okay.
Marine Corps, they did it this past year.
A lot of people do it.
Oh, it still happens, but I'm just telling you that.
Okay.
So the all roads, or just, I mean, state roads, obviously, so they can do it on town roads. Bluebird Road.
That I don't know.
And I don't know if your town, some towns have laws with coin drops. I don't know if more of those.
We have one of those guys. We did allow a couple of years ago. I think the village had an ordinance or against it. But I don't know where we're at.
And that was the reason it came up in my conversation with the deputy commander for the post. He had asked me about it.
Okay.
So I'm on council. I guess you can review our role in that.
Okay.
And we'll go from there.
Okay. Thank you.
So there was discussion at our last meeting, I believe, about changing the October audit meeting to the 30th, so it's closer to the end of the month, so we can pay the warrant. And there's also discussion, because of other meetings having to stay that night, to change the board meeting, and we need to do that by resolution. So we need to go back and handle that resolution tonight. So it's a resolution changing the October 30th town board meeting and audit meeting. I'm sorry, the
23rd.
The 23rd meeting, rescheduling both the town board and the audit meeting to October 30th.
So that would be 6:30 on the 30th for the audit meeting, 7 p.m. town regular town board.
Yeah, we have a 6 o'clock meeting with Secretary Kelly, and then 6:30 for the audit, 7 for the meeting.
Second.
Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Anything else for open session?
Any news from the town council?
No news, except what you read in the paper.
Thank you. Sorry.
With that, I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session to discuss contract negotiations. Contract negotiations.
Oh, listen.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, we can do that. So, in addition to contract negotiations, to discuss the work performance of an unnamed member, not unnamed town employee.
So moved.
Seconded.
Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzner?
Yes. Thanks, everybody, for coming.
Ready?
All set. All right. Entertain a motion to come out of executive session. I note that no action was taken in executive session.
So moved.
Seconded. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzner?
Yes. And now that we're in open session, I would entertain a resolution creating the position of a part-time code enforcement officer. So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzner?
Yes. Any other business for the town? With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzner?
Yes. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Leanne, for...